5 inches of beauty.
Hello and welcome to the maiden voyage of Hammer the Over, the official podcast of Model 284. With you today, your host Fred West and Evan Drone. Evan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Fred. I'm happy to be here. Looking forward to hammering the over with you.
Yeah, I can't wait to hammer the over for the foreseeable future. So for those that don't know, and if you're listening to this, I assume you have at least some knowledge of what Model 284 is all about. We're a statistical sports modeling site looking at some predictors for your favorite, you know, sports, NBA, NHL, NFL, maybe do some gambling in there. But we'll be the podcast. We're hoping to keep it a little lighter, not as numbers-based. We're the jocks of the Model 284 team.
Yeah, we take the outside approach. Mm-hmm. We don't look at the numbers quite as much as the other guys do, but we can bring in some more interesting takes and hopefully work work in here. So,
you know, general sports guys. But, you know, we don't want you to just assume that we know what we're talking about. So we'll give you a little background info on where we're coming from, what kind of credentials we have to be telling you what we are. I studied my undergraduate at St. Olaf College, where I was a women and gender study major. I then took my talents to Stanford, got my master's in aerospace engineering, where my thesis paper was the effect of nuclear propulsion resistance training on the maximum squad of interior linemen.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it was that was good work. I worked with Professor Johnson on that one. He was a great guy. And then I actually got my PhD just this past May, finished that up, PhD in communications from Northwestern, their School of Journalism. I don't know if you know Mike Greenberg and Nicole, Rachel Nichols, a couple of alumni from that institution.
Wilbon, so, too, right?
Yeah, Wilbon, yep. Yeah, Northwestern grads, and to meet them.
Yeah, I'm sure you had plenty of classes with those guys, right?
Yeah, I had a couple of classes with Greeny.
Show them around the sports
Mike board. And Mike. What about you? Everyone want to give the folks a little rundown?
Yeah, I'm also an Ole. Mm-hmm. Didn't take any master's degrees like you yet, but I'm on the path. Jumping into this podcast first just to build up my resume. Mm-hmm. Took an A in stats 110 at St. Olaf and called it a career in terms of numbers. And that's how I ended up working for these model guys. Mm-hmm. The only left-handed modeler, actually, which is something you want to keep an eye on, was facilities manager for the CIR, place where Mark's analytics brain was born, so I take mm-hmm. half the credit on that one. Mm-hmm. Also a decorated intramural champion, various sports across the board.
Yep.
And a pretty blind Minnesota sports rube,
right.
Which mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot of throughout this show. It's a tough life living here, being mm-hmm. a fan of these teams, but we're working towards something. Things are always looking brighter, and they usually don't get any brighter, but we always look to the future, don't we, Fred?
Yeah, probably a fair disclaimer. Evan and I are both Minnesota sports guys, both very, very in tune to heartache, very accustomed to letdown.
Yeah, it's nothing new.
No. So if it starts to get a little bit glum, a little bit overcast on this podcast, then you know why. But, yeah, for the most part, we're just going to try to give you a general sports talk. As we go, we're hoping to find a little bit more of where we want to go with the podcast. But for now, we're just going to start you off with a quick rundown on sports, what we've found interesting. And we know it's a little bit later, but we wanted to get this podcast out around the NBA draft time. So we're just going to run through that very briefly, winners and losers, maybe some NBA free agency. Markelle Fultz, your number one pick, 76ers, trust the process.
Number one guy. Hurt, in his second summer league game in typical Sixers fashion.
Exactly.
Trust the process. So immediately shut him right down, which, smart move, but who's to say he's coming back?
Yeah. I mean, and the number two guy in the draft, Lonzo Ball, makes a big splash in the summer league.
Right.
Summer league MVP had something like three or four triple-doubles.
Next Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Confirmed next Russell Westbrook. He's also confirmed the savior of the Los Angeles Lakers franchise, as told by his father, Lonzo Ball.
The great LeVar Ball.
Father LeVar.
He guy's a little in over his head. And I don't know if you watch many of these summer league games, but Lonzo killed it, but his swag was pretty poor for somebody who has a $400 shoe on the market, right, and a supposed family brand.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's wearing ankle socks. I didn't see any armbands. I didn't see any knee savers. What's this guy doing? God.
He has got a lot to learn. I mean, you can toss up triple doubles all you want, but until you get your swag down, I mean.
I think that's square one. You start.
Stay off my television.
Yeah, you gotta look good.
Look good. Feel good. Play good. I watched one. I mean, granted, at the time I wasn't exactly like picking up, tracking everything I was watching on the television, but I did watch one Lonzo game, and he is fun to watch. Yeah. That makes nice pass. I like that kind of basketball.
He's in the right spot in LA. He's flashy.
Yeah, I like that kind of basketball. It'll be fun. It'd be very interesting to see how he pans out this year with all the hype. I'm not convinced that like playing so well in the Summer League MVP necessarily is even good for him right now. I think he could have done with just like
It's not good for his dad.
Understated entrance, maybe, but we'll just see.
Just setting the table for LeBron to show up next year.
And he's got a target, that's for sure. Speaking of not – jump back a little bit to the Sixers. Did you see Joel Embiid getting on 2K about his rating?
86 when Cat was at 91.
Yeah. I'm starting to get a little sick of Joel Embiid.
I think it's a little over the top. It was pretty funny to start.
Yeah.
Especially when he actually wasn't even playing.
Cat doesn't even play.
Guess he had to make a name for himself somehow.
Cat doesn't even play. But probably the biggest news for us anyway, big blockbuster trade.
Stole the draft.
During the draft, Jimmy Butler to the Wolves for you've got
Zach LaVine.
Dunn. And the seventh pick in
number
the
number seven pick.
In the
and
first
we got Butler and the number 16 back, which we ended up drafting Justin Patton, the center out of Creighton. And of course he got hurt, so we didn't get to see him in summer league, but I mean, how can you not be excited about that trade?
No, that's the biggest thing. And we had talked previously to the draft about whether or not we wanted the Wolves to make a deal for Butler, because talks have been brewing about it for a couple of days. And I think we had both agreed that, yeah, it's time to give the fans something to look forward to, give them a chance to win, and happy to see it happen.
Oh, I would have been – I honestly would have been all for even putting Wiggins in that trade over LaVine. I know a lot of people would have been unhappy about that, but I'm tired of sitting and waiting on these young guys. I mean, we got to have them. They're a key piece, but let's get some serious stars in here. Tibbs has finally done. It's nice to see some actual trades and transactions going through that mean something.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the word around town, the buzzword for that trade was fleeced.
Yes.
And I think the general consensus was the Bulls got fleeced by Tibbs and the Wolves.
There's some pretty unhappy people in Chicago.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of direction in Chicago, but that's a whole other topic. Maybe we'll get our friend Judd Lowenstein on for that one.
Yeah, he'd have a few words to say about that, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm. But when you're coming from a franchise that's currently got the longest playoff drought in the NBA, it's nice to see them make some moves where, again, general consensus seems to be they're going to be right in the middle of the pack in the playoff picture, right in it.
I think there's no question. I mean, the Western Conference is loaded with all these other moves, like PG-13 next to Russell on OKC. Right. You got Chris Paul going to the Rockets, which is more or less just rich get richer. I mean, Houston's going to be there, but it's going to be a battle in the West.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, in the East.
I mean, that's a cruise. LeBron's not even playing the regular season.
He doesn't have to.
He's just going to go vacation with his family and say, call me up when we're in the playoffs.
Yeah, give him like a week beforehand and he'll just hop in.
Yeah, that's all he needs.
I love it.
I don't know why he would.
The only move in the East that really any traction was Gordon Hayward to Boston.
Yeah.
Actually, some hijacking of America's birthday there.
Yeah, that's
took
true.
Over, took over Twitter fourth. On the 4th.
That was a big day. I think Durant did that last year, too.
Kind of bullshit.
But, yeah, and he easily could have done it the day before.
I know.
Wanted
these guys, maybe not Patriots.
Nah.
Well, maybe not Patriots.
I mean, they are in Boston.
Something to keep an eye on. Knicks fire Phil Jackson.
Out of there.
Right after he makes his pick for his French point guard to run the triangle. I can't even guess at his name. But
his little run on Twitter, too. That was quite the week.
It's wild. The Knicks are such a fascinating. Did you know like Dolan has a band?
What?
Yeah,
he has like
He's in a band. And they put he sings in it.
And people pay money to watch.
I don't think that many people do, but yeah, I think that's the general idea, is that you pay money to go watch James Dolan play.
I don't think I would do that.
I don't think I would either. But Melo, maybe some grumblings of him getting shipped.
I saw it yesterday on ESPN. He said that he does not want to play in New York next year. And yeah, I swear that changes every year. He's got a no trade clause in his contract, and he's going to have to waive that if he wants to move. But why would he want to stay in New York? He's been there for what, like 5-6 years, and yeah. It's just been a disaster.
At this point, I mean, I'll be the first to admit I'm not the biggest NBA follower, but I don't even know if Melo's good anymore. Like, is he still good?
I don't think anybody knows. I don't think he knows.
He's like such like a joke. It's such a like a Twitter joke. Melo is a Twitter joke. Like, he's the guy that you rip on Twitter, and you're just like, Melo, haha.
I'll tell you where he's good. He's getting 2K, and that's why I want to see him go to Houston, because Harden, Chris Paul, and Melo in 2K would be a nightmare.
That's maybe reason enough to make the trade.
I'm pushing for it. And yeah. I'm a big Wolves fan. I don't want him anywhere near the Western Conference, but if it means a new 2K team to toy around with. 2K
Dynasty?
Let's go.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Moving on over to the MLB, had the Home Run Derby and the first ever All-Star Game. Or maybe not the first ever, but the first.
First
in a long time that didn't decide the home field for the playoffs.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I have a mixed bag. One, I always thought it was a little bit ridiculous that an All-Star Game would decide something so important. But on the other hand, it made it easily the most fun All-Star Game out of the big four sports to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, it mattered. The pitching was absurd. It was awesome to watch. You see, like, just the best pitchers in baseball pitching one or two innings.
Yeah.
So they can just throw gas for, 15 pitches, which is great.
Like Scherzer in that first inning.
Yeah, just awesome.
He's mic'd up to sound like a horse.
That guy is insane.
He is. He's got two different colored eyes, he's too.
Freaking psycho.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Like, it sucks because now it's just the same as all the other All-Star games and Pro Bowls that don't matter, and the guys just take it as a joke, and that's fine too. Yeah. Like, I get it. It's a long season, and it doesn't have to be a serious competition, but it's fun for the fans to watch a real game.
Yeah, I'm a big MLB guy, and I think it's awesome because I think it's hard not to be competitive in baseball. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't just going to lace pitches in there.
Right.
And it is a pitcher's game now. I mean, what was the final score? Like, what was it, 2-1, 3-1? I forget. It was a low-scoring game. It's hard not to try. So it's going to be competitive no matter what. I don't think it's fair for it to decide World Series home field advantage, because if you really wanted that advantage that badly, you'd be pitching Kershaw 7 innings and then Scherzer for the last 3 or whatever. Yeah. So I like the change. I think it's good for the sport. Guys are having fun. They had guys mic'd up out in the outfield and that's kind of chatting.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the way baseball is in general anyway. Like a regular, day game on a Wednesday is kind of has that attitude anyway, where players are chatting it up. It's just nice to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
So that's fun. I guess overall it's probably the right call. Having something as important as home field in the World Series.
Right. Well, it's like decided. The Cubs won 103 games last year and they were playing in Cleveland.
Right.
Game one. It's Cleveland. Come on.
A little absurd. Cleveland in general.
Just Cleveland. Yeah,
Cleveland. Cleveland could win 150 games. They probably still shouldn't have home field.
No.
Also, though, day before, Home Run Derby. Home Run Derby is and probably always will be the best gimmick in sports. Like, it's the best gimmick, like, game night in sports. It is always fun. And it made it so much better Aaron Judge was in it this year, because that guy is a freaking mammoth.
He's 8 feet tall, hits 500-foot bomb.
That was absurd, honestly, because I haven't seen much of him. And obviously he's got 30 home runs or whatever, and, like, he's enormous, but seeing it was absurd.
Yeah, he's incredible. It's just amazing to think that he's a rookie. And
he's 25.
He is 25. Big guy. Played a handful of games last year, but I mean, he was just a cup of coffee in the majors. Mm-hmm. And I just don't get how guys do this. He comes up and he's hit 30 homers already.
That's insane. Yeah, it really is insane. He passed DiMaggio for most rookie homers by a Yankee.
Yeah, that's like not the worst. Before the break.
Yeah, before the break. I mean, he is 17 feet tall. he's adopted. Which,
I heard that.
Yeah,
so his parents are
what a freaking gold mine! Right now. A little blindside action on that. They picked up the 14-pound baby in the incubator, and we're just like, let's take our chances with this guy.
This is
the one. We'll take him in. But and our boy Sano was in the finals, which was fun. He looked gassed. He had no shot.
Oh yeah, he's a big boy too.
He's a big boy. Yeah, it's the thing too. He's got dwarfed by freaking Judge. Like, he looked like just like a squat.
Everybody did. You see, they put Altuve next to him too, and he's looking right at
you. Knew that was coming.
Yeah.
The Altuve judge. Yeah. But, knew that was coming. Yeah. Second half predictions. Got the Twinkies are a half game back. Ted Big Sexy's debut earlier this week.
Started off well. First couple innings, pretty good. Not great. Struck out Judge in the first inning. Yeah. Big man. But
sounds like his next start against the Dodgers is probably going to be, whether or not he calls it quits is what I was reading, is that
he could retire.
If it doesn't go so well, he might just pull the plug.
Yeah.
I mean, which, honestly, that guy's 44.
That's pretty old.
44. Probably, what is he, like 5'10", like 250 pounds? He's a big dude. He is a round son of a bitch. And then you got the Astros and Dodgers just pulling away in every direction.
Yeah, it's just not even close in their divisions right now. I mean, baseball's so variable, you never know. Mm-hmm.
Runs, ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I like the Nationals, though. I think they could be a team to – but it's like the Dodgers and the Nationals are always – they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They got the roster, they got the rotations, but always seem to choke.
Yeah.
So
I mean –
the Cubs are, what, a half game behind the Brewers?
Game back. Yeah, Brewers – well, they were – at one point, the Brewers had an 8-game lead in the Central. And they've gone on a quick 5-game losing streak, and the Cubs have won the last 6, and it's
you got your Milwaukee ties. It's a fluke.
I've got Milwaukee ties.
Is this a fluke?
Yeah, it's a fluke. It's like, there's no way. They are good. They're a good young team. Everyone was expecting this kind of season to be in a year or two.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? They're overachieving for this year, but they do have good young talent. I mean, the Cubs are going to come back and win that division.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get healthy, get Chris Bryant back. But
cream rises to the top. Water always finds its level.
Another topic to hit on with our good man, Judd.
Yeah, we'll call him in when necessary. But, second half of the season's just hitting its stride. It's the fun part of the baseball season.
A lot of teams right in the middle there that could make a jump, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, meanwhile we're in the dead part of the NFL zone, but we do get some fun side stories.
Yeah,
like Ezekiel Elliott getting in some trouble Sunday night. May or may not have punched a DJ.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, this is where we like to play the I'd rather be regular segment, where let's say I go out on a Sunday night, I punch a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows. No one cares. I just wake up and go to work on Monday. Ezekiel Elliott punches a DJ, and all of a sudden, everyone knows about it. You got Adam Schefter chastising him, like little boy in him on TV, asking what he's doing, be smarter. But is Zeke a bad boy?
I mean, I think you can't deny it. Apparently, last week he got pulled over going 30 miles over the speed limit,
mm-hmm.
cruising 100 miles an hour down some road in Texas, and he's apparently appealing that. He's got that other pending issue with denying accusations of
domestic violence
against his girlfriend. Yeah, this guy's convenient. A bit of a troublemaker.
Convenient how everyone forgets that after a fantastic rookie season. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's really good at football. He must be a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Anybody in my fantasy football league, I would stay away from him. I'll throw him on my roster, though.
Speaking of a good football player translating to good guy, O.J. Simpson just got approved for parole in October.
The juice is loose.
Juice is loose. Honestly, O.J. ESPN should hire him. Just throw him in with Ray Lewis and have them just be judgment.
Yeah, everybody's watching that.
Yeah, just have him be the judgment. On the league, have Mike Vick, Ray Lewis, and O.J. Simpson just like judge players.
Did you see that interview, or not his interview, but did you see that case today or that video?
Just the hearing.
He did not look healthy.
No, apparently he's commissioner of the softball league in prison.
I heard that.
It's wild that they give them bats.
I heard this too. Yeah. Any chance he just decides, you know what? Kind of digging this job.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna stick it out.
I'm actually on a pretty good gig as
staying here,
commissioner of the penitentiary softball league.
You can't get a lot higher than that.
OJ Simpson, that had to be the if that was a vote, biggest landslide victory in recent Democratic memory.
Yeah.
OJ Simpson winning the vote to be commissioner of his penitentiary softball league. That had 105,000 to 1. Speaking of 105,000 to 1, probably McGregor's odds to beat Mayweather.
August. It's coming up. August. I want to say 26th, and that could very well be wrong.
They just finished their shit talking world tour.
What a banana land that was.
Okay, I fundamentally don't understand the point of that. Really, I get everyone knows that's fake, right?
I mean, it is it more?
Is it? I guess
it's a joke.
It's a joke. Yeah. Okay. So like,
it's a clown show. These guys are just like, what was McGregor wearing?
He was.
He wasn't wearing much.
No, but. The thing that gets me is that. All right. Let's pretend for a second that it's real and they're actually like thinking of these things to tell each other. Yeah. So it happens the first night. They go out there. They yell at each other a little bit. There's some racial slurs thrown around. Maybe an F-bomb thrown at McGregor. Things get out of hand. And then what, do they go back to their hotel room and just think of insults for a day to, like, throw at each other? Like, is that their plan? They're just like, oh, I got a good one. Like, he's not going to be able to come back from me telling him he's fake money or something.
It's just so staged. And this is my hot take. I don't think they care about each other. I mean, they're good friends. Yeah. They don't actually hate each other. They know they're going to cash out at the end of this. I think they go back to their hotel room and, like, whip out that hotel N64 you can rent.
Yeah,
for
probably.
Whatever. And you're playing Mario Kart. Never mind. Yeah, these guys are buddies.
They probably are buddies. And the one thing, though, I will say is Conor McGregor knows how to put on a show.
Yeah.
That guy puts –
I love that accent, too. It adds so much more to it, you know?
Makes everything better. All right, now we're going to kick it to an interview with our CEO, Mark Richards, do a little model talk, do a little NBA Summer League draft, and maybe some fantasy football talk. All right, now we'd like to welcome on our boss, our CEO, Mark Richards. We should preface this by saying we have another boss and CEO, Sam Walczak, who we will definitely have on the podcast at some point in the near future. But for tonight, it's Mark. Mark, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Evan, Fred, thank you for having me on.
Hey, great to be here. Great to have one of the founding members of our company.
Yeah, is it a pay week?
Yeah, is it a pay week?
Pay month?
Pay a year?
Well, you guys ate dinner tonight.
Oh, sure, we did get fed. Yeah. We did get fed. Well, Mark, you guys have been pretty busy with the model recently, working out a lot of NBA draft forecasts and predictors and stuff. Obviously the draft is over and done with. You guys did some player profiles. Can you give us, based off of the model and what you guys are seeing, any steals in the draft? Any guys that went a little bit later than you maybe anticipated, or some guys that you saw that could make an impact in the league soon?
Yeah, definitely. So, well, right now, kind of how we like view a prospect from like the model perspective is we have kind of three components. So we look at this PNSP metric, peak NBA stat line projection, just kind of like an all-encompassing, like, how good of an NBA player is this player going to be from their college stats. Mm-hmm. Then we look at a similarity score metric that shows how players with similar college metrics performed in the NBA. And then we also kind of look at, okay, what's the potential or role probability they're going to fit in? Are they like a Scalabus year where they have a ton of potential, this freak athlete, but minimal production in college? Like, could they be an all-star or a bust? Like, what are those percentages? So kind of based off that, we identified, you know, a couple guys that went later than expected. And the first one is who went to the Golden State Warriors would be Jordan Bell. He was a top 10 guy in our PNSP ranking and ranked well in the role probabilities as a starter, but basically just a super versatile player. Mm-hmm. The Warriors got him.
Good.
And then another guy is Sindarius Thornwell, who went to the Clippers in the second round. And he was kind of that 3-and-D type player that was a senior that performed very well. And I would even say kind of the last guy would be Dennis Smith Jr., who we were like super high on, and he fell all the way to 9, which I would have taken him in the top 5, probably even could have even argued taking him in the top 3, in my opinion.
Yeah, Dennis was impressive in summer league. I mean, I saw some highlights. He looked like Russell Westbrook. And this guy, that guy tore his ACL, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He tore his ACL right before his so it was in his senior year, I believe, and so coming back his first year was last year, and he played on just a trash North Carolina State team. And
love that.
Just bad attitudes on the team, bad spacing, and he still put up phenomenal numbers.
Mm-hmm. Evan mentioned Summer League and Dennis Smith in the Summer League. There's been some guys, Lonzo Ball comes to mind, who have kind of tore up the summer league. Do you have a model, or how are you guys working to make a predictor to how summer league success could translate to the next level in the NBA?
Right. Yeah. So it's like every year your guy gets drafted in the end. You know, the Timberwolves every year got drafted, and they got a player that they pick and you want to watch him in the summer league. So it's like, how valuable is that? And so we're actually working on it right now, kind of a research project that basically saying like, what is like the predictive power of NBA summer league? How much can we take away from that? And then ultimately we're hoping to kind of create a metric that'll be like an adjusted to our PNSP based on summer league, because it's just more data points.
All right, Mark. So on another note, in the NBA, you guys recently put up an article talking about prior NBA champions and the probability that they could beat the 2017 Super Warriors team.
Super Warriors.
And we obviously heard from a lot of people after they beat the Cavs in the finals. A lot of retired players like the Rasheed Wallace's and I think Rajah Bell, Magic Johnson coming out saying that they would have stomped the Warriors in four games.
The 04 Pistons. Yeah, that was my favorite one. Them coming out just so hot that they just crushed the Warriors. Like, did they make a three-pointer that entire year? I don't think they did.
That's up for debate.
Big Ben in the middle.
Yeah.
I love that. That's one of my favorite NBA teams. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys calculate this? How do you take that previous data and compare it to a completely different era of the NBA?
Yeah. So essentially, well, Eric King, an analyst here at Mile 284, put this together. But what he's doing is he's going back and taking the cumulative season-long statistics of the team and individual players that go into it. And, you know, even if you adjust for, like, kind of the eras and, you know, how many threes are being shot, basically adjust for that and whatnot, you're still going to get similar results to what we're seeing here. So you can kind of take those statistics at the end and match them up. Granted, there's still, you know, there's multiple ways to do this and there's some error in it, but like, I think it gives you kind of a good glance and a fun glance to look at it at least.
Right.
Yeah. And why let all the other, you know, like ESPN and Fox Sports, why let them have all the fun with this kind of this debate? I mean, we got to get in there too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you're not having this debate in the middle of July, what are you doing? You're not even living at that point.
Yeah, so I take a look at this article here, and we're looking at the teams with, based on your model, the teams with the greatest probability of beating that team. You see the Bulls here with MJ, Pippen, 2000 Lakers, Kobe and Shaq. You got the 2015 Warriors on here, 2013 Heat with LeBron. So these are a lot of super teams. You think to this summer with the Lakers winning the summer league after drafting Lonzo Ball, and he, I think, won the
MVP. Yeah, without even playing in the championship.
That's a thing, and they, what, play like four games. So, I don't know. What do you think the odds are that this Lakers summer league roster could hang with the Warriors?
Are we including Magic Johnson as a player?
And Luke Walton.
Yeah, only if Luke Walton's in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're talking maybe less than a fourth of a percent.
Okay. So there's a chance.
Yeah, so there's a chance.
Yeah.
So
I people would pay to see it.
Raise a banner. I thought it was – did you hear that the Lakers they raised a banner for this? They have so many actual NBA championship banners. They don't need to raise – like, what are they doing here?
Well, they're just starting the Lonzo Ball era.
That's like, true. Starts off there, then 2018 champs. 2018 through, you can pencil them in, what?
The Kobe era is over.
2038, you got them running the table.
I mean, if this team just makes the playoffs next year, the hype around Lonzo is going to – I mean, it's not a good team.
And especially making the playoffs without Swaggy P.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, he was a good player last year.
Yeah.
Almost a wolf, by the way.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, the Warriors offered more, though. I think he was thinking about taking the Bulls on a lesser offer. But
yeah, that's smart. You got to take the money when you can, Swag. Mark, we're just going to thank you for coming out here. Before we let you go, we want to ask, you know, future plans for the model, anything coming up. You know, I know the boys have been talking maybe a little fantasy football league for Model 284.
Almost August.
What's in the works?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, we'll have some NBA summer league kind of recap stuff and what can you really take from that. Jack Werner is working on some baseball similarity scores that kind of take into it's comparing similar pitchers that, so it's taking into account, you know, speed as well as break on each pitch and the types of pitches they throw. So look for that to kind of roll out, and we'll kind of maybe add some cool visualizations to that. And then fantasy football is right around the corner, so we'll have you know, a number of different kind of research studies we're looking at, like home field advantage stuff. Sam's putting together some wins above or points above expectation on weekly fantasy football and kind of various other topics we're going to cover.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. You're all obviously always welcome anytime, and that is not because it's technically your company. All right. Well, thank Mark for that interview. Good insight into the inner workings of Model 284. Hopefully we'll be back with another episode here in about a week with some more sports news, some more model talk. Thanks for tuning into the first episode. To finish off this first run, we're going to kick it to our obscure sports insider, Timothy Ewald, with a quick question on NL West leading Dodgers.
Tim.
Yeah?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how about you?
Pretty good. I'm here with Fred West, actually. You're on an episode, actually the Maiden Voyage, the first episode of Hammer the Over, Model 284's podcast. We just had a quick question for you. You got a sec?
Sure.
Awesome. So following the All-Star break here, Dodgers have a nice 11-game lead on the Diamondbacks in the NL West. So trade deadline's coming up here on July 31st. Just curious your take on what the Dodgers can do to keep that lead and hopefully cruise right into the playoffs.
Well, on my very valued MLB opinion, I guess I would say Clayton Kershaw has been around a little too long. We're not as welcome. High value right now. I think you just got to ship him off for about 8 prospects and, you know, build for next year.
So the best team in baseball, arguably the best pitcher in baseball, just mortgage him off for the future when you're, yeah, okay. Love it. All right.
I don't know, man. It seems like it works out sometimes, and this might be one of those times.
Hey, this is why you're the expert. I mean, we called you for a reason. I wouldn't have made that play, but at this point, that's what they got to do.
That's what you're there for, Tim. Yeah, never would have thought of that. Love it.
It's groundbreaking, but, you know, we'll see what happens come the deadline.
All right, we appreciate your expertise over here on Hammer the Over. Talk to you again soon.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.